still recovering from the convention. That's all right. It's good to see everybody here. Dakota's bringing us the Word of God tonight. He's going to be talking about the will of God in our lives. And look forward to that. So let's pray for him real quick, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you for another week of health, another week of safety and protection, love. And lift up Dakota tonight as he brings your Word. God, anoint him with your Spirit.
That I was given was the will of God, and when I met with Chris and the other voice guys to talk about this topic, it was very interesting to me about what they thought about it, and a truth came up to the topic, and it was that the will of God is being avoided when trying to find it. And what I mean by this is that Christians in the church are so concerned with finding the will of God that oftentimes we will set aside our work, like we won't act. We'll pray about it and stuff, and that's good, but we won't act to find it. And then we sit on the sidelines because the will of God, and because we want the will of God to come when it's ready and sweep us into ministry, and it'll be some big grand thing, but we want God to show us a sign while we do nothing, instead of God showing us through what we do. And it'll be my goal to get across to you 2 points to help you find God's will, and 1 point to show you how to do it. And if you'll flip to me with Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 in your Bibles. The first verse is, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. In the book of Romans, Paul was trying to strengthen this church in Rome that was really young and diverse, and all the different cultures trying to come into the church. And he wanted to give them some advice in strengthening their walk. And the advice he gave, and that was really well in Romans 12, and he said that they should, for them to grow, that they need to sacrifice their lives for God. And by that, it means like anything that is in your life that you may put before God, say either your job, a lifelong dream, or something like that, anything that stands in that way, you need to get rid of it, because it's not helping you in any way in your faith. So. And then Paul urges the believers to give their whole selves, their entire lives. He pleads with them to sacrifice everything, not just a little bit, not just half the time, not just some of the time, but all of it. And I can kind of relate, because I always wanted to be a Marine. I was going to the military. I was training every day, stuff like that, and I was running all the time. It's a lot smaller than that. But God, he had other plans for me. He said no. The last summer before I was going to ship out, I went to a church camp called Crossings, and I was praying, and God just put a thought in my head, no, you're not supposed to go. And I kept praying about it, and he kept saying the same thing. So I knew that God was more important than my own dreams, so I had to throw that away, but that was just because I got to come here and have opportunities like this and grow so much in my faith. Going to Boyce has been super beneficial to me. Super beneficial in my faith. 100 times more than what I knew back then. And he had a different plan for me. Paul also said that when we sacrifice our lives to God, it's pleasing to him. And that is our worship. Sacrificing my life for God was tough. But knowing that I was doing it to please God brought great joy. So anything that I can do for him, it's nothing what he did for me, but anything I can do is just still. In the next verse, Paul tries to say that being a sacrifice, we can't be conformed to this world. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means, like, don't follow the world. Fight back the worldly desires and push back the temptations with God at your side through constant prayer and study, constant work, constant prayer and study, even more. And God will be with you through that. He will strengthen you up and will fill you with the Holy Spirit so you may be able to fight back that temptation, because we can't do it alone. And God, we will fall. We fall. I fall all the time. Every day. But that's why God grants us grace. Because he knows we can't do it by ourselves. And that just glorifies him even more. Him having to help us out shows how awesome he is. And so when we fight, we must know that God is at our side. And he won't leave us or forsake us. So take comfort in that. Take comfort and take encouragement whenever you leave us. But this brings me to my first point, which is, how can we know the will of God? Question. And, one, we can know by giving our entire lives, to holy sacrifice to our God. Two, we can know by fighting back our temptation, and through the prayer and word and knowledge that we gain. And then three, we can learn it by discerning what is good and following through that. And we do all this because God grants us the ability to. He gives us his Holy Spirit to where we are able to do that. But if you'll flip over to Proverbs 3. In verses, chapter 3, verses 5. The verses are, starting with verse 5. Is trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. Whenever I met with Chris, and there was an illustration that came up, and it really interested me, and I thought it went well with this. And the illustration was about a mother and a daughter. And the daughter brought up some news that really shocked the mother. And the news was that the daughter was pregnant. Mom, ecstatic about it, because she's going to be a grandma. She wanted that. It would be awesome. But the daughter didn't know whether she wanted to keep it or not. Thinking about aborting it. The mom, being a godly woman, prayed that the daughter would keep the baby. Because, I mean, she'd love to be a grandmother. But kept praying and waited patiently. But that's all she did. It was just, man, that's not a bad thing. That's good. But the daughter ended up aborting the child. And the mother was so broken by that and hurt and angry at God because she was wondering why he didn't do anything. She had every opportunity in the world to talk to her daughter and ask God for the Holy Spirit to give her the words to speak to her and maybe change her mind about that. And God can use that conversation as a way and use it to keep the child. But she didn't. She didn't act upon it. And she was very passive about it. But the reason that I'm trying to do this is the point I'm trying to make is that Christians, when they're trying to find the will of God, we become really passive. We don't partake in the work to find out what his will is for us. We're not active. We should go out and do the work of God so he can show us through our work what his will for us is by the passions that he's filled in us. Like, in my own life, I have a passion for high school kids. Love high school kids. I'm still a teenager, but it's just, I feel like I can connect better with them. Just because they, I understand what they're doing. And I wouldn't have learned that unless I got involved in my church and found out throughout my school and tried to witness to people and all that stuff. But the work of God, people think like, oh, you got to be a pastor or something. The work of God can be simple. It can be as simple as sharing your faith with somebody or encouraging somebody, and that can be your passion. Your passion could be just a great encourager. A few words to somebody and amp them up for the rest of the day. Solomon knew this, and he wrote it in verses 5 and 6, and saying that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not rely on our own understanding. And if we trust in the Lord to reveal his will to us, he will. But we must not rely on our understanding, because if we do, we'll be like the passive Christian, not do the work of God, but waiting for the will of God to come out of nothing, not working for it. Solomon says that we should think about God in all of our ways so that he can shape us into his will. And Solomon says that if we do this, we'll be guided on the right path by the Holy Spirit, will. And that brings me to my second point. What does searching for God look like? What does searching for God look like? And that is, number one, sacrificing yourself to the Almighty God for His purposes. Transforming the discerning Christian of God. Transforming into that. Three, trust in the Lord to guide you down His path. And four, do the work of God to find His path for you. And all this, you can pray that God will fill you up with the Holy Spirit, and He will, so you can do the work of God. But unless you go out and do it, it doesn't do much. I'm saying God can't do it. He can very well do it. He does it all the time. But now if you'll flip to Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verses 9 and 33. And in verse 9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. And in verse 33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And these verses, I think, describe our lives. Describe the life of a Christian. In my own life, I was headed to the Marines, but then I ended up here. I planned my path. I planned that I was going in the Marines and going to fight for our country and all that stuff. And that's great. I still would love to do that, but that's not God's plan for me, so I'm not doing it. But I relied on His understanding because His purposes are better for me. The plan is always better for me than I can ever come up with. And if it were my choice, if I did rely on my own understanding, I'd be on some foreign battleground, 9,000 miles away from here, away from God's will. It'd do me no good. But Solomon goes on in verse 33 saying that there's no matter what His will is going to be kept. Decisions you make will ultimately be for His purposes. And as a believer, though, like the non-Christian, they don't have the Spirit to guide them. Then point three, what's next? To find out what God's will is, obviously, we must carry it out. Once you find out, and some people think that they've already done the plan for them, but as long as there's still breath in your lungs, there's always a purpose for you being here. Some people have excuses. I'm too old, or I don't think I can do it anymore, but still here. You can still talk. You can still show by your actions what God has done in your life. There's your purpose. And two, if we know our passions and strengths and weaknesses, we'll put them to use as a servant of Christ. Like my passion for high school kids, when I was in high school, I would witness to every high school kid that ever came into my class. Some people didn't like me very well if they sat next to me in class. Not a lot. But, oh well. And if we dwell on the Lord and trust in His every move, because He will never fail us, dwell on Him and think about Him in all our ways, He'll guide us down the right path. Spirit. The Spirit will guide us to the right place. You ask yourself three questions. Not the ones that are in my points, but three different questions. Am I giving my life up for God's purpose in life? That's one. Am I working while God reveals His plan for me? That's two. And three, am I carrying out that will? If you ask yourself those three questions, and that is not the case, and you're not doing those things, it's time to fix it. But are you going to fail trying to do those things? Force. A lot. Fail a lot. But God gives us way more chances than we deserve. Way more chances. And thinking back in my own life, how many times I fell on the side of God and just felt awful about it. But then He forgave me. And I'm doing this. Standing in front of you. Preaching. That's awesome. But He's still using me. Even though everything that I felt. And the problem of the church of God's will can be resolved with God's work being done to find His will. Once you find your passions through God's work, and the Spirit will reveal these things to you, you find all that, and you carry all that out. And God will work in your lives if you pray and work and study and get involved and use the passions that you're given, because they're given to you for a purpose. I'll just pray for you guys. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me, Lord. I just pray that I would have touched somebody's life today and made them want to go out and do the work of God, Lord, and find his will for them. I just pray that, Lord, that you would just be safe, help everybody be safe on their trip back home, and pray for all the seminary and boys students as their semesters come to a close, and that they will have safe travels back home. Your son, Christian, and I'll pray.